It's time for Sisters in Law. Janice and Davita Mathis are here to take your questions and give you advice.
Listen, doll, I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Call us now at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Hey, this is Bernadette Stannis. You know me as Thelma of Good Times. You're listening to Sisters in Law right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sisters in Law, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. I am your sister in law, Davita Mathis. Janice Mathis is in transit today from Chicago back to Washington, and she's going to check in when she lands. But I have my special guest, and I guess daughter in law would be her name, Avery Allen, my real daughter. Hey, Avery, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing good.
Thanks for joining me today. There's so much in the news. There's so much to talk about. You know, we vowed to talk about the election from now until the election on November 6th. But the election took a strange turn. And it may not seem like the election, but I think it is. And what I'm talking about is the bombings. The bombings, okay. 14 pipe bombs sent to 12 people, all of whom had something in common. They were Democrats. They were outspoken critics of the president and his policies. And they all received or were sent pipe bombs. And there's a suspect who's been arrested. Avery, you brought something to my attention that I really hadn't heard until you said something about it. About the synagogue that was bombed this morning in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was a shooting, actually.
A shooting in the synagogue.
Yes.
And I understand, now that you told me about it, I was reading about the rabbi in that case, the rabbi of the synagogue where the shooting took place, and four were killed that I know of right now, and others mm-hmm. were injured, that he posted in a blog about gun control. In July,
mm-hmm.
Gun control, and he posted about the midterm elections. So there is a very sad connection between those who were sent to pipe bombs and those who were killed in the synagogue today in Pittsburgh. They were certainly Democrats, and they were talking about the midterm elections, and they were critics of the administration.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just a shame. The president issued a statement, an official statement. It lasted about 15 seconds. And then he went into his Trump mode, which is always a terrible mode. The Trump mode is, they're taking attention away from my elections. I know it sounds crazy, but that's been his response.
Yep.
Well, not that people were killed, not that high-profile Democrats, politicians, and donors were targeted to be bombed, but it's interfering with his news cycle.
Yep, and that's what he's concerned about.
Well, it appears so, because that's what he talked about. He gave the official line, and I mean it was just a line. And then he went into Trump mode talking about how terrible it was that they were interfering with his news story. And his story is that he's going around campaigning for Republicans for the midterm. And not so coincidentally, the person who was arrested in these pipe bomb mailings is Cesar Sayoc, 56-year-old from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Well, actually, he's from his van because he lived in a van. And apparently this van has been spotted around the Fort Lauderdale, South Miami area for a long time because he is a very ardent Trump supporter. I understand his social media did a whole lot of talk about Trump and his policies and Make America Great Again on his social media. Have you seen anything about that?
Yeah, and Twitter refused to disable his account after he tweeted direct threats to some of the people that he sent pipe bombs to, but only after he was arrested for sending pipe bombs to these same individuals was his Twitter account disabled. So
they did that like yesterday?
Yeah, like literally yesterday.
After he was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
I understand he's been on Facebook saying some real mean and hateful things. And I saw some pictures from his van, which is apparently his moving home.
It's just a hate van.
Yeah, hate van. There was a reporter down in the South Miami area doing a documentary, and he said that he had seen that van several times, and it had pictures of prominent Democrats, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, some from the Trump administration who resigned, National Intelligence Director who resigned, and it had red crosshairs across their face. And to me, that was a threat.
Yep, it's a direct threat. And his tweets were like, I wish I could just blow them off, you know, off the face of the planet or off the map.
And who was he referring to?
He was referring to some of the Democrats that he sent pipe bombs to, like the Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. So, yeah, he was really about that life, I guess you could say.
Well, the bombs were sent all over, mailed that they know of. All 14 of them were mailed to post offices all around the country. Kamala Harris was one of those that he sent a pipe bomb to. Mailed hers to California, mailed several to the New York area, all over the country, even Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you know her, congresswoman from Florida, Democrat, mailed her one. And one way they nabbed him is because he couldn't spell. He spelled Hillary wrong.
And they also nabbed him by the type of bomb that was created.
What type
was that? They were very rudimentary, and they were about the same for each package, so... In that case, that turned out pretty well, I guess, that you were able to identify that.
Rudimentary, and I think he left his fingerprints on the packages?
Yeah, that too.
Wow. Well, it's a sad day in America when just because of your political affiliation, you get a bomb mailed to you, and it certainly seems like political affiliation has something to do with that horrible shooting in the Pittsburgh synagogue. Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh this morning because the rabbi did what rabbis are supposed to do. Rabbi means teacher, and he was blogging about gun control, controlling these shootings in schools. He said unless we change the Congress during the midterm, these were going to persist. And my God, he was right. I'm sure he probably didn't foresee that it would happen in his own synagogue, but that's what has happened. And the president is mad because his news cycle has been messed up by this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not because people's lives have been threatened or lost. Well, when we come back, we're going to tell you about a very, very special guest, two very special guests that we are going to have in the 4 o'clock hour, and talk about any legal topic that you would like to discuss. Call us at 404-892-2703. You're listening to Sisters-in-Law on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
They are real sisters and real lawyers. Janice and DeVita Mathis are the Sisters-in-Law on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Got a legal question? The Sisters-in-Law are here to help.
I can tell you've been crying and you're needing somebody to talk to.
They're so raw and real, and they ask all the questions I want the answers to.
Call now. Call now. Call now. 404-892-2703. The Sisters-in-Law on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, what's up?
This is a good party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Solid. Right on.
as far too many of you die.
Connor, he said that word, and you know I'm talking to people. I know the neighbors here. I know people from the Jewish community, and they are hearing names, and it is a very cohesive neighborhood, and even though it is diverse, getting new information now about. We're getting back to these officers, the two officers that are in critical condition. Again, I'm reporting that one of those officers just emerged from surgery, and the doctors are optimistic. The other officer, I'm told, is still in surgery. These are the two that are in critical condition. Four officers in all who have been wounded today. All of them, I am told, are Pittsburgh police officers. You know, there was a large contingent of law enforcement that converged here from around the country, but those officers that were shot were all Pittsburgh police officers. Also, I'm learning a little bit about the weaponry involved here. And now this is not detailed information, but the suspect, Robert Bowers, had a rifle. And my sources tell me that it was a semi-automatic rifle, which would have been a rapid fire. I'm not a firearms expert, and I'm trying to be careful when I report on firearms. Semi-automatic rifle would mean that you would have to pull the trigger for each round to go off, but it is a more fluid than a shotgun. So you can shoot a lot of rounds in a short time with a semi-automatic rifle, if in fact that's the weapon that suspect Robert Bowers had this morning.
Good afternoon, Atlanta, and welcome back to Sisters-in-Law on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. You were listening to a report from courtesy of CBS KDKA in Pittsburgh, giving details about the Tree of Life Synagogue shooting today in Pittsburgh. That neighborhood is called Squirrel Hill, Avery. Squirrel Hill mm-hmm. is a place where a lot of Jewish people have settled, and it's the residents there believe it's a safe neighborhood, but it certainly was not safe today. A suspect has been arrested. His name is Robert D. Bowers. Mr. Bowers has put a whole lot of anti-Semitic stuff on the internet. He favored a social platform called Gab. Are you familiar with it?
No, what is that?
Gab is a place where people go and Twitter and Facebook kick them off because of their racist and anti-Semitic views. They can go to Gab. G-A-B, and talk all that crazy talk, and they tout free speech, but the freedom of speech that they talk about is the freedom to be hateful and talk about going in on Jewish people and going in on minorities. Mm. And Joe Beasley was on earlier. He was talking about how this was connected to Israel. Well, apparently, based on this Robert D. Bowers post on Gab, it is connected to Israel. And resettlement on the West Bank and all types of things that we think are not important and don't touch us.
I wish people would just stop being so terrible. I guess that's what I want to say.
Well, it certainly is terrible.
It's terrible, and because we've all come, I feel, well, I don't know, it might just be me, it might just be because of my upbringing, that there's no beef between the Christian folk and Jewish folk. Like, it's not that big a deal to be targeting them for such a crime as existing, as it were. Like there were with black people and with queer folk, like, the crime is that they exist. And there's no reason to persecute them, because if you believe in whatever deity that you believe in, that deity will deal with him accordingly. But even if you personally don't believe that there's any difference between humans, why are you making yourself the judge of humanity.
Yeah, well, this Robert D. Bowers was apparently really upset. His last post on Gab, G-A-B, that's a social media platform, was that if Israel won't do anything about Jewish people helping to settle refugees in Israel, then they were he was going to do something about it. Apparently, he was mad about a Jewish group that was raising money and having services to help settle refugees. And he said if the government in Israel wasn't going to do anything about it, he was going in. And by going in, I guess he meant going into the synagogue and killing 10 people. So far, that's what's happened.
What makes it so evil beyond just killing people is that they were there for a bris, where they were, you know, doing the ceremonial circumcision of a new Jewish baby boy. And it was a celebratory time.
Certainly. And they were in a worship service.
They were in a worship service. And also, you're not supposed to play God. Only God can judge us as humans, and we as humans, our task is to love one another.
And that's and it.
That's it. And to protect one another and support one another in our efforts to be better humans. But you feel it's your job to go in and persecute people, and that's just so evil and so counterproductive and counterintuitive to what any of the religious texts say. No religious text supports harming another human being or seeking vengeance on another human being. It just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense.
And it's just, it's remarkable at how evil it is.
And how the religion is twisted to mean something it never was intended to mean.
Yes.
That's the shocking part to me. And that's what makes a lot of people, you know, not want to be involved in church or synagogue or any organized religion, because they say, well, it can be twisted to be something bad. Well, they're right. It is twisted to be something bad.
Right.
It definitely is. Well, we don't mean to bring you down. We want to keep you up. And I want to remind you, as we said, we're going to talk about voting from now until November 6th. We want you to get out and vote. There is no reason for you not to vote. As a matter of fact, if anything, there's more reason for you to get out and vote now. Get out and vote on November the 6th. One of the most important races ever will determine Georgia's next governor. You can participate in early voting now and get an absentee ballot and mail it in. Make your voice heard. Get out and vote. For more information, log on to WAOK.com. Get out and vote. I thank our producers for being so quick in helping me with this terrible information about the shooting in Pittsburgh. We will be back to you with our very special guests, Alicia Janetta Johnson and Adrian Patrick, her attorney, to talk about the Fort Valley State case. Very important. Tune in. You're listening to Sisters-in-Law on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
This is Reverend Al Sharpton. When I want to get real legal advice and real information on current events, I listen to Sisters in Law with Janice and Davita Mathis, because they give you the real deal on News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK.
It's time for Sisters in Law. Janice and Davita Mathis are here to take your questions and give you advice.
Listen, doll, I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Call us now at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Kissing what I'm missing, won't you listen? Brown sugar, babe, I guess high up your love, I don't know how to be.
Today in a Channel 2 Action News investigation into a university sex scandal, a former university executive assistant and seven other men are now charged with pimping and prostitution. Channel 2's investigative reporter Nicole Carr first broke this investigation today. She uncovered two high-level school employees are among those charged. Nicole.
Well, Jovita, we knew one of the seven suspects was an attorney this afternoon, though. I was able to confirm that until a few months ago, he was also the chief legal counsel at Fort Valley State.
A six-month investigation into a sex scandal centered at Fort Valley State University now includes seven suspects, including high-ranking former university employees.
She's not a pimp, not a madam.
That's Alicia Johnson's Atlanta-based attorney defending her in April, a day after we revealed the GBI was investigating Johnson for pimping. On Friday, we learned Johnson, the university president's former executive assistant and Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority advisor, is indeed facing six counts of pimping, six counts of prostituting herself, and one count of theft tied to allegations she planned to steal scholarship money from a student in 2015.
All three programs are designed or developed or used to enhance the skills of students to get them ready for a post-secondary education.
We also confirmed our research into one of the other suspects, the university's chief legal counsel, Charles Jones, who was fired just months ago in the middle of the prostitution investigation. Jones is also charged with pandering and solicitation of sodomy alongside five other men from Fort Valley and surrounding areas. The suspects' names are here and the allegations tie to incidents in 2017 and 2018. The university stressed its consistent and aggressive cooperation with investigators, issuing this statement to Channel 2 on Friday that read in part, FBSU has promised its students that their safety and security is our first priority, and we fully support the application of the judicial process. While we cannot comment on the details of an ongoing investigation, we expect anyone who has compromised the trust of our students to be held accountable with all deliberate speed.
So the big question is, were students actually compromised in all of this? It's something investigators would not detail for me today, citing an ongoing investigation. I spoke briefly with Johnson's attorney earlier today, and he wasn't ready to comment on the case until he had details of the charges. We're live from the news.
Good afternoon, Atlanta, and welcome back to Sisters-in-Law News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We are honored, even under these circumstances, to have famed attorney Adrian Patrick of Atlanta on the line to talk to us today about the Fort Valley State case. Along with him, his client, Miss Alicia Janetta Johnson. She was the advisor, the graduate advisor to the AKAs at the Fort Valley State University, and until recently, an executive assistant of the president and director of special events. We are honored to have you, even under these terrible circumstances, Mr. Patrick.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
Well, it concerns all of us. Fort Valley State is in little old Fort Valley, Georgia, in little old Peach County, Georgia, but it has reached out across this world with its education, with its graduates. HBCU, 123 years old and celebrating their homecoming this weekend. Little old Peach County, Georgia, but they have reached out around the world because the students that have graduated from there have touched all areas of professional life. And what is so shocking to us is not only did it implicate Fort Valley State University, but it implicated very prominent members of the community, including your client, and also implicated our oldest black sorority, Alpha Kappa Alpha. Now, I'm a Delta, but I give honor to Alpha Kappa Alpha because if it were not for AKA, there would be no Delta Sigma Theta. And they have worked tirelessly all these years to uplift African-American women and our communities. And this case encompasses breaking down of all of those institutions. And so we welcome you under these circumstances. What do you say about these charges?
Well, first of all, we want to thank both of my client and I would like to thank you all for giving us an opportunity to express ourselves in this situation. One thing in this case that's very interesting, an overriding theme, is that they allegedly dispatched over 100 agents down to Fort Valley State to investigate this case. They've searched my client's home, all her personal records, effects, and so forth. And now they come back with misdemeanor charges. No felony charges, misdemeanor charges. So the question has to be asked, what is the real purpose of all this? What's the true goal? Is it my client, or is it something bigger than that? Or is my client being used as a pawn for something else? You know, that's my general statement.
Well, Adrian, you said something that I have not read in the newspaper, and I read the newspapers, several of them every day. You said right. that misdemeanor charges were filed.
And
reading the papers, they say they're felonies. So clear us up on
that. They're misdemeanor charges. There was an attempt to make one a felony, but it's misdemeanor charges. One of the charges is conspiracy to commit a misdemeanor. Now, a question, I guess, at this point is whether or not that a alleged theft of a scholarship is a felony or a misdemeanor. And that's going to be something very debatable, okay? Now, I'll say this. Let's assume for a minute that we're talking about one allegation of felony allegation. Let's assume, for the sake of argument of my presentation here, that was one theft of scholarship per se. Did it take all that?
100 GBI agents.
Right. So clearly it was not about one scholarship. It was not about my client. My client is being used as a pawn. And as the case develops, it will be more evident that this has nothing to do with my client or the gentleman individual that would charge anything like that. You know, that is ridiculous.
Well, Angel, let me ask you a question. And I know my listeners are anxious to hear about this. This is not our first time talking about it. We talked about it back in May, and we talked about it last week, and we're talking about it again this week because our listeners are concerned. One of the prevailing concerns is that our listeners thought, like you were just saying, that it's not just about events that are alleged to have happened, but a larger scheme or a larger plan to demean our institutions.
Exactly.
They feel like that. Now, the salacious charge that is all in the news, on television, and everywhere is pimping. Is pimping a criminal offense in Georgia? Is that the title of it?
Yeah, well, yes, it is an offense in Georgia, but is an extreme stretch. Even if without me having any cross examination of anything, even if everything they stated was true, assume that, it's still not what you would think of as pimping. They're going extremely technical to try to stress the best they can to get the pimping elements. See, pimping takes with pimping, inherently with pimping goes some use of force or some way in which you're pressing people to do something, or if they don't do this, maybe they get beat up, like a pimp that would beat their woman on the street, whatever. There was no violence in this case. There's no force at all. Everything that was any kind of sex that was alleged in this case was between consenting adults that were overage. There were not any minors at all.
Well, the music is playing. You're doing the right thing. We're so glad you're here. The music is playing. Can you stay with us for another 15 minutes so that we can learn more about what the charge of pimping is in Georgia, what the elements are, and how you think they do not or do match with what you know about the charges. And also, we want to talk to Ms. Johnson if she is on the line.
She's on the line. I'm going to make a brief statement. That's it. I can't get too much about details.
We're hopeful to even hear her brief statement. Thank you so much. You're listening to Sisters in Law with our very special guest, Attorney Adrian Patrick. And coming in the next segment, his client, Ms. Alicia Johnson of Fort Valley State. She has been charged in the Fort Valley case. Tune back in. Do not leave your radio. This is very important. You're listening to Sisters in Law News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
They are real sisters and real lawyers. Janice and DeVita Mathis are the sisters in law on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Got a legal question?
Hello.
Need some advice? Call Janice and Davita Mathis now at 404-892-2703. The sisters-in-law are on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
W-A-O-K. We are joined by Adrian Patrick, prominent Atlanta attorney, who is representing Alicia Janetta Johnson, charged in the Fort Valley State case. They call it pimping, but I didn't know that pimping was a real charge. Adrian, tell us what the elements of pimping are.
Well, pimping involves a person that agrees to obtain a prostitute for another, arrange a meeting for the purpose of prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
That's what pimping is in Georgia.
And so the charges that they brought against your client and others in Fort Valley, do the allegations fit that charge?
Well, yeah, pimping. And one is pimping. So one of the charges is pimping. Another one is prostitution. Now, mm-hmm. And pimping involves... the allegation would be my client allegedly pimped someone that had arranged a meeting or shared in that profits made of a meeting for mm-hmm. this particular person. Prostitution is just straight prostitution. I think everybody's familiar with the meaning of prostitution. Now, one of the things you're going to find in this case is this. My client cannot prostitute or pimp a person that's already a prostitute.
Ooh.
Leave that there. Now, prior to meeting my client,
mm-hmm.
Notice they've hid this alleged accuser. And they never had, everybody pictures of everyone else, the funeral home director, my client, and all of it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the accuser?
Haven't seen any pictures of the accuser.
Right.
And I understand there are two of them. Are there two accusers?
Name than that, one is one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, possibly two, but let's go back to what we were talking about earlier. When you met me at first, the initial allegations was all this array of women that allegedly were prostituted, so forth and so on.
That's what it sounded like.
We've already won now because, you know, two things we won already. One, we're not talking about felonies anymore. We're talking about misdemeanors.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're all of a sudden going from a score of people. One alleged woman to one or two. Now, I don't know where they're getting this whole prostitution ring from.
Yeah, two people wouldn't be a ring.
That's my point. So the question goes back to this. What is the real reason they blew this thing out of proportion? And why haven't we been able to know who the alleged accuser or accusers are so we can look at their history,
mm-hmm.
look at their records, see what were they already involved in things like this? Were there other motives? Those are going to be the questions we're going to answer during the trial.
Do you think this case will come to trial?
Yes.
Well, the reason I asked that question, Adrian, is because, as you said, it went from 20 women down to, and felonies down to one or maybe two, and misdemeanors. It looks like it's going in the direction away from a trial. That's what it looks like.
I think at this point, you have to think about budget-wise, mm-hmm. you have to do something. You sent 100 agents, allegedly, 100 agents, I'm not sure exactly how many, down to investigate a case that's a huge prostitution ring that did not exist, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And now you come back and say, hey, we found a few misdemeanors at best. They can't come back and say, hey, look, we blew it and we're just going to let it go. My position is this. We're ready either way. If we got to go to trial, we'll go to trial. If they dismiss it, fine. I don't think they're dismissing. Based on my latest information, they're not dismissing anything. They're gung-ho. They're going forward with this. They're still trying to paint my client as this huge madam, hiding flights or something. Mm-hmm. No large sums of money been found. Actually, no money's been found. The best they found on my client is a whole bunch of bills.
Mm. And you said from the very beginning when we talked to you months ago that there was no madam, that there was no ring. And exactly. You're saying the same thing now that you were saying then.
I'm more confident now after they finished their investigation. I mean, I haven't gotten their discovery yet, but no ring. Yeah, I'm confident in that part, yes.
So how does Ms. Johnson get her life back after this is over? Or have you even thought that far?
Well, what we'll do, I'll let Ms. Johnson answer the question. One, I want to tell you, announce who she is and tell her how this has impacted her, and tell her briefly just a brief statement on how you plan on, how it affected you and your child, and how you plan on trying to get things better together as briefly as you can.
Well, we certainly want to hear her. Is Ms. Johnson ready now?
I'm here.
Oh, Ms. Johnson, thank you so much. For our listeners, let me just say we are speaking to Ms. Alicia Johnson. She is charged in the Fort Valley State case for very important reasons. Ms. Johnson can only give a statement because this is a pending investigation and there are pending charges against her. We thank you for being on, and go forward with your statement.
Sure. Thanks a lot for having me. The first thing that I'd like to say is this has been an extremely difficult time for my family and I. I have a son. I am a mother. I'm an only child, so I'm a daughter as well. This is his senior year. All we wanted to is to have a really good year for him. And since this all broke in April, it has been very challenging. But I must say that in spite of it all, he is really doing well. I've had some tremendous support from my family, my church family, and the few friends that I have left. And we are, holding fast to our faith. And I am not perfect by any means, but my personal life and my professional life were two totally different things. And as Mr. Patrick stated, there are a lot of things that I cannot say because it is an ongoing investigation. But those who know me and know that I had worked at the institution for 14 years, my son has messages, inbox messages, all kinds of Twitter messages, all kinds of, Instagram messages from students that I don't even remember running across, but they've been sending it, reaching out to him. What can they do to help? What can they do? Because if it wasn't for me, they don't know if they would have ever graduated. I was driving down the road yesterday. Young man flagged me down. Ms. Johnson, please pull over. I don't know how I would have made it. My father was involved in a sex scandal my last year in college, as you may recall. And if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have graduated that year. So those things keep me encouraged. Reading my Bible, listening to Mr. Patch, all of those things continue to keep me encouraged right now. And all I can do is say that hopefully and prayerfully that the evidence will speak for itself. When everything comes out, people will know. Everyone is who they are. God made us all different. We all have our own sins that we have to atone for. We all have to give an account for what and who we are and what we do. I can only speak for me. I can't speak for anyone else.
All right. And one more thing, Ms. Johnson, if I could add to it, she could say this. Financially, you lost your job, and so tell her how that's going, things are going financially.
Adrian, well, let me ask you. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Can you stay for just a few more minutes?
Yes, ma'am.
If we have to take a break, that's what the music means. But I want to hear this, and I know our listeners want to hear it too.
Okay.
We want to address how this has affected Ms. Johnson's life. And in all the discussion in the newspaper articles, I forgot about her son, but I remember now, and I'm glad that she brought that up. You're listening to a very special interview with Attorney Adrian Patrick of Atlanta and Ms. Alicia Janetta Johnson, who has been charged in the Fort Valley State case. They will be back with us. They're kind enough to come back with us after the break. Stay tuned. There's no other radio like this. You're listening to Sisters in Law, News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
I am Reverend Tracy Blackman, Executive Minister of Justice and Local Church Ministries for the United Church of Christ. You are listening to Sisters in Law with Janice and Davida Mathis on News and Talk 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
The Sisters in Law are holding court. Call now with your legal questions. 404-892-2703. News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
As life goes on, I'm starting to learn more and more about responsibility. And I realize that everything I do is affecting the people around me. So I want to take this time out to apologize for things that I've done and things that haven't occurred yet. And things that they don't want to take responsibility for.
Sorry for the times that I left you home. I was on the road and you were alone. I'm sorry for the times.
Good afternoon, Atlanta, and welcome back to Sisters in Law on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We are in the middle of an interview with Adrian Patrick, prominent Atlanta attorney and attorney for Alicia Janetta Johnson, who was charged in the Fort Valley State University case. We've all heard about it, and you've been so kind, Mr. Patrick and Ms. Johnson, to stay with us over the break. We were getting ready to talk about the impact that this case has had on Ms. Johnson's life and finances. She talked a little bit about the impact it's had on her family, and we certainly want to hear more.
Okay. We're ready. Go ahead, Ms. Johnson.
Sure. A couple of years ago, almost 5 years ago, I need to share this first. I'm just rebuilding from a terrible divorce where I was a victim of domestic violence, and I was beaten almost to death, literally. And I had to move in with my mother, my son, and I. And we're just celebrating that anniversary on the Thursday before I was served with all these charges. And so my son reminded me of that. And, you know, the only reason I quit my job in April when all of this happened is because I needed to hire an attorney. At first, I thought this was just all some social media, you know, it would blow over. But then I realized it was so out of hand and everyone started calling me saying I really needed to have an attorney. Well, I had to resign in order to be able to cash in my savings, my 401, so that I could hire an attorney. And so I just spent my last of that to finish paying for all my legal fees. And so, of course, I don't have the same position as before. And I am just without the means that I was accustomed to having. And if I truly was who they say that I am, I don't think I'd still be staying in a home with my mother. I wouldn't still have a car note. I wouldn't be worried about how I'm going to send my son to school. And, you know, those are just things that I think people need to ponder about. And so that's where we are right now. I have no funds, if you will. You can check my bank account. The GBI went through all of my funds. They went through all of my financial records back in April before there were any charges. They tore my house apart. They took everything, all of my phones, all of my computers, my mom's laptop, my son's laptop, our iPads, everything. And they came back with nothing. So, and that was 6 months ago. And so all they found out was that I probably need to take two or three other jobs. But, you know, sometimes it's not all about the money. It's about the work that you do. But right now that's where I am. And when this all broke, I began working on a book, and I talked to Mr. Patrick about it. I thought it was very important that I began journaling. So I started working on a book to try to help me maybe find a point in the future. We'll release it, but I just thought it would be important for me to start working on that.
Well, we certainly want to know more, but I'm not going to ask you any questions, Ms. Johnson, because I'm a defense attorney, too, and it's wonderful that you have shared as much as you have, but I'm sensitive to the issue that you are facing charges, and this is still a pending investigation. Adrian, you probably haven't thought ahead. this far, or maybe you have because you're a lawyer, have you considered whether or not this case is one where you would file a civil suit against any entity for bringing all this mayhem on your client's life?
Well, yes, definitely. I'm not a civil lawyer, but I'm definitely planning on contacting civil lawyers that can handle that type thing. One of the biggest, going along with what you stated, is this. I think one of the biggest negligent acts was that people would go forward to this point prior to vetting out the credibility of the accuser or accusers.
Well, that's kind of the bedrock of prosecution to determine who your witnesses, potential witnesses are, and to determine their bias and credibility.
Exactly. And if that was done, we wouldn't be here now. But in the rush to try to get some type of arrest or something, they overlooked all that, and then Karen was very reckless in doing it. And now we have this situation. Now, I respect the fact that you, Ms. Johnson, not arrested initially, you know, so forth and so on, and they were very cordial in terms of notifying us of so she can turn herself in and so forth. And I think that there's some time being made and taken in terms of what type charges they're charging on, with so forth and so on, which we do appreciate those things. However, I do believe that there should have been more diligence taken and more research done prior to, like I said, determining the credibility of the accuser or accusers. Like I said, we wouldn't be here right now.
That's shocking. The whole thing is shocking. And the missing piece for me, well, there are several missing pieces, but one that just stands out is that where is the money? The money that this ring was supposed to have made, because the purpose of a ring is to make money. Where is the money? Has anybody even mentioned money being made?
No. Well, they're attempting to say it was scholarship money that was, you know, whatever, but that's not even addressing the issue, the point you're making.
Why it's not.
Steal scholarship
two
money
different
if
things.
You had, right, exactly. Why do we have to steal scholarship money? Which she did not do clearly. That will be at trial. We'll take care of that issue. But that didn't happen either. So. But I'm saying, if she had independent money, why would she be trying to steal scholarship money? For sake of argument, I'm saying.
Seems inconsistent to me.
Yes. And so that, those type things, I mean, so, but yet the issue is still another issue. It has been another issue here, other than just Ms. Johnson ran this ring that was not there, this ghost prostitution ring. Of all these women that none of those students have come forward and say, hey, you know, she's making me do this, she's making me do that. I haven't heard one of those yet.
Yeah, you know? That's the other glaring missing piece.
Yes. Well, because it's a ghost. It's a ghost. Hold on, Ms. Johnson, hold on a second. It's a ghost. You know, so, and, you know, and but yet my client's life is destroyed. No, who's going to now hire her, whether we win or lose, for these type of allegations in a wreck in our past, all over the world, not just local, around over the world. Now, the point is, yes, I think she has great grounds for civil suits. I think that has to be weighed by a civil lawyer, mm-hmm. and a criminal defense specifically only. But I think she definitely has grounds for that. We're looking at that too. First thing we're going to focus on is what is at hand right now. That's trying to win this trial.
Of course.
And let the public know that my client is not a pimp, not a madam, and things like that. So,
well, Adrian Patrick, we appreciate it. Is there anything else that Ms. Johnson has prepared to say? I don't want to infringe on her rights.
Look, let me say this. I appreciate y'all giving her a chance to vent. She's just been talking to me, all right? So, and my staff, I know she wants to say something, and I think she should. She's professional enough to handle this, but I think she should. I appreciate you all giving her a chance to talk. And additionally, you're the only media outlet we would have talked to.
Well, thank you for saying that.
I've gotten calls all over the world, and they wanted to talk, and I've denied everybody because I don't trust media, certain media, some media I trust. I trust you all. Let me say that, all right? Because I think that I know you're gonna take it and do the right thing with it. I'm afraid of her making statements because they're gonna chop it up, edit it, and stuff
of
like
course.
That, and make it seem like something else for hype and stuff like that. So anyway, Ms. Johnson, you can say if you make a final statement. That'd be good.
I just want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to be able to share some thoughts with you and for you listening to me. I am not this evil person that the world is being made to believe of me. And I'd be happy, like I said, to share all of the comments that we're receiving from so many of the past students and many of the current students and even alumni. I've really gotten a lot of support, and I can't say everything is bad. I don't watch the news, so I think that's the only way I'm able to keep my sanity. But, you know, people forget that you have a child and that high school can be very cruel. And I always tell people to put yourself in that person's shoes. And being a single mother that gets no help at all from his father. I have to work 2-3 jobs, whatever I have to do to take care of him. I do it. And so people have to remember, put yourself in my shoes. You walk a mile in my shoes, and then you can cast your judgment.
Thank you so much, Ms. Alicia Janetta Johnson, Attorney Adrian Patrick. I pray, my prayer for you is that the truth comes quickly and fully. And that will bless everybody. Thank you so much. Our doors are always open. You can always talk to us because our listeners care. Thank you so much. You're listening to Sisters in Law News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
They are real sisters and real lawyers. Janice and DeVita Mathis are the sisters in law on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.